Welcome to the Max Expressificity Podcast, to help you decipher the confusing world of social connectivity so you can become an effective and forceful communicator, and so your messages are clearly heard and properly understood. Do you struggle to put together the best words? Well, here are the tools, tips, and techniques you'll need to express yourself to the max. And here is your host, Neil Mack.
What are the best words? My favorite are buffet, upgrade, complimentary, refreshments, succulent, and waft. But what are your favorite best words? Let me know at Neil Mack, NEILMACH, all one word. The British dramatist and the screenwriter Dennis Potter suggested in The Singing Detective, that was brought out in 1986, that the best word is elbow. But elbow doesn't even make Dr. Robert Beard's 100 most beautiful words in English, though efflorescence, which means a flowering or a blooming, and elysium, which is dropping a sound or a syllable in a word, do make the list. Since words are the fundamental tool for communication and for acquiring knowledge, you'd think that we all had a very large stock of words at our disposal, because these are our tools. And it's true, the average speaking vocabulary of an adult American is about 15,000 words. About 1,000 words are required for a conversation, and it's claimed that probably just about 3,000 words covers 95% of all common speech and media. So most of us have ample words. Of course, this is not an active vocabulary. It's an inactive one, because we use it on the whole for listening and perhaps for chatting with family and friends. We don't try to use it to broadcast or communicate new ideas very much. If we did start to try to broadcast new ideas, then we'd need a slightly larger vocabulary, especially if we wanted to write and we wanted to write interesting and imaginative pieces of work that had punch. Now, a word is not in your vocabulary if you have any of the following. Are you ready? If you've never run into the word before, it's not in your vocabulary. For example, it's possible that you had not run into elision, which means dropping a sound or syllable in a word. Another way that it may not be in your vocabulary is you have run into it, but you couldn't define what it meant. So, for example, you may have heard the word efflorescence, but you wouldn't be able to explain that it meant flowering or blooming. Another way that you'd know that a word is not in your vocabulary is if you have recognised a word, but only because of the circumstances or the tone that it's been used in. So if I said I saw a beautiful plant and I enjoyed the efflorescences on the end of the stalks, you can start to get your head around what efflorescences means. And also, if you've used the word before, but you couldn't actually definitely explain what it meant, then it's not really in your vocabulary. And this does happen to a lot of people. And finally, you might have used the word before, but since using it, you found that the definition that you had in your mind for that word has been wrong all along. So once again, it wouldn't be in your vocabulary, even though you've been using it. But play with words, be imaginative and inventive with words, and you'll enjoy communication.
Blah 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 blah.
How to speak from the heart. Are you enjoying social media right now? The reason I'm asking you that is because a lot of people certainly after COVID-19, perhaps during it, I've started to become frustrated with the experience of social media. And that's why I ask the question now. It might be that right now you're finding it unenjoyable because you can't find the warm-heartedness and the spiritual conscience that it once had and that they used to be all over the networks. That spiritualness and that warmth doesn't seem to be there anymore. Where is the soul? And I think it's because people don't know that you need to tap into your heart to use your brain. I like to remind myself of the old Yellow Pages advert, let your fingers do the talking. And I'm sure that's right. Let your fingers do the talking on social media. Yes, but ensure your sounds come from your heart. So I just wanted to bring some tips to you today for how to speak from the heart. And this is whether you're talking to someone in an exchange, in a discussion, or if you're writing a post or agreeing with somebody or adding a comment on social media. Here's how to speak from the heart. First of all, take a breath and settle. Take a breath and settle before you say your first word or before you tap your first word. If you can, picture in your mind's eye your best loved person. And then generate a sense of goodwill towards that best loved person. And bring to mind what you will want to share or what you will want to say. And imagine how that best loved person would respond if they were there to speak to you or if they saw your post. If you can imagine your best loved person being happy or being pleased with your remark, then it's obviously worth broadcasting or publishing. Because when folk speak from the heart, or when they write from the heart, they do it quickly, they do it neatly, they keep things short, and it sounds genuine. Once you've done it, once you've imagined those bits, and then you've published or broadcast your word, or you've pressed the post button, congratulate yourself, because you've just done a very brave thing. You've spoken from the heart. And the only thing I would like to add to my tips, and this is for social networking, is once you have posted your comment from the heart, add another comment just underneath and encourage others to speak from their heart too, so that we can share the warmth and share the spiritual consciousness and start to bring the networks back together again. So that's how you speak from the heart.
I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
Today I want to talk to you about an interesting idea. It's called mood zingers. Z-I-N-G-E-R-S or Z-I-N-G-E-R-S. Because sometimes you just need one word. You might need one word as an answer, or as an exclamation, or as a short, sharp statement. And I call these words mood zingers. These exclamatory words have to be spontaneous. They have to come unannounced. And they have to come kind of randomised too. Here's how to do your mood zinger. First of all, I just want to introduce you to an idea, and it's called mood colours. In psychology, every mood that we might have has a corresponding colour. Psychologists will tell you that colours have a subliminal power, and that means they have a power which you can't quite see on the surface, but it's hiding underneath. And these colours help convey value to words and to stories. And we know a little bit about this, don't we? Because we hear people say that they are green with envy, or they're feeling very blue because they're sad, or they're seeing red because they're angry. So we know this thing about colours and moods joined together is something that we understand. Psychologists still argue about which colours relate to which moods. There are several interpretations for each colour in the spectrum, but to simplify them, I think they can be listed as follows. Red is feeling afraid. Yellow is feeling nervous. Light green is mixed emotions. Blue is feeling relaxed and calm. Pink is feeling cool. Gold is feeling loved or lovable. Dark green is feeling romantic. Turquoise is feeling passionate. And purple is feeling very happy. Now, using the colour chart, and I'll put it on the show notes for you, but using the colour chart and the corresponding interpretation for the mood, you can create your own zinger. So you might say petrified, but instead of the I'd at the end, you put R-E-D at the end, petrified, which means I'm feeling very afraid. Or you might say, I'm yellowy, I'm feeling very nervous, or green-winged, I'm feeling a little bit mixed, I'm feeling blue-laxed, which means I'm feeling calm, I'm feeling pinkly, I'm feeling cool, I'm feeling goldified, I'm feeling lovable, I'm feeling green-gaged, I'm feeling romantic about this. Well, I'm feeling amethusiastic. Now, this is a good one. It means I'm feeling passionate, but uses amethyst instead of turquoise. And of course, you could use fuchsia and aquamarine. I'm feeling empurpled. This means I'm feeling very happy. Try to make some mood zingers of your own when you feel the need. And let me know your best ones if you've used a mood zinger in the past. And that means a word which comes from a mood and a colour joined together. Let me know.
I think it's a bunch of blobby gelatinous whoop whoopy blathering aloyaceous nincompoopy and flimmelization.
The ruddy duck. Thesaurus. Brood word of the week. This week, sodding. S-O-D-D-I-N-G. Sodding is a mid-level swear word that seems to have lost its original connection, which might be to do with the act of sodomy, but also might be more associated with wettish grass or being sotted, S-O-T-T-E-D, which is being in a drunken state or just being mildly inebriated. As a mild expletive, it sounds grumpy, but without being out-and-out vulgar. So you could say, oh, sodding hell. And everybody knows what that means. It means you're a little bit annoyed, a little bit miserable about something. Where's that sodding cat? I keep dropping my sodding pen. Why doesn't this sodding computer work properly? Where the sodding hell is my girlfriend. I haven't seen her for sodding ages. I think she went into that sodding shop over there. It can be used in social settings to express annoyance, but without any rebuke. The word is usually said when someone or something has been mildly irritating. So think about using sodding instead of your normal go-to swear word. A rude word of the week.